Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Rand Hummel, Program Director of the Wilds in Brevard, North Carolina. The title of his message is The Dark Side of the Internet. The text is from Ezekiel chapter 8.
Well, you're in for a real treat in chapel today and tomorrow. Rand Hummel, Program Director of the Wilds Christian Youth Camp in Brevard, is here to speak for us. I've heard Rand speak on many occasions, and he's blessed my heart. I must admit, the Holy Spirit's used his messages often to bring conviction to my heart. He only has one weakness that I know of. He was born in Pennsylvania, therefore he's a Yankee. But he's a very intelligent Yankee because he chose to live in the South, and for that we're very proud. When a BJ ensemble went to his church many years ago, he felt the call of the Lord to come here to BJ and prepare to serve. He graduated from here in 1978. He married a young lady that also graduated with him named Amber. He's authored several books and in the area of scripture memorization and devotions and how to reach spiritual maturity. They have two children. Josh, their son, is a junior here in BJ. A man who does love the Lord very much. A man who loves the Word of God very much. And a man that loves teenagers very much. And I'm sure God will bless your heart as Rand preaches to us today and tomorrow.
Brother Hummel. Thank you. Take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 8, please. Ezekiel chapter 8. I've been asked to deal with an issue that faces every single one of us, and that's in regards to what God has to say about the Internet, the World Wide Web. You know, we live in a fast-changing world. You cannot go through a day without seeing or hearing .com this or .com that. The Internet is a part of our life. It's not going to go away. It's going to get bigger, and stronger, and faster, and more appealing every single day. You know, the Internet of today is much like the telephone of about 125 years ago. Western Union had a memo dated in 1876, said this: "This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is apparently no value to us." Now, obviously, we could not live without the telephone. We could live without answering machines, but not without the telephone. I found a couple answering machine messages I thought were very unique. Here's one. "Hello, you are talking to a machine. I am capable of receiving messages. My owners do not need siding, windows, or a hot tub, and their carpets are clean. They give to charity through the office and don't need their picture taken. If you're still with me, leave your name and number, and we'll get back to you." Or this one: "Greetings. You have just reached the Sixth Sense Detective Agency. We know who you are and what you want. So at the sound of the tone, please hang up. If you are still with me and you are a burglar, then we're probably at home cleaning our weapons right now and cannot come to the phone." In answer to the question why so many telephone companies are buying up cable TV companies, the chairman of AT&T responds, quote, "The digital cable link to your TV will not only deliver hundreds of channels and movies, it will be a source of a virtual communication center. If you want to get on the net, cable will give you access to speeds hundreds of times faster than the modems commonly used today. And you'll be online all the time. No need to wait to connect. If your computer or TV set is on, you are connected. You'll be able to jump to a different website as quickly as you can flip channels on a TV." In an article from The Cutting Edge, the writer explains that we live in such a high-tech society that basically the PC as we know it today will be an antique in just a few years. Everything in your home will become computerized. Your toaster, your VCR, your refrigerator. You could be on your way to work, and your refrigerator will call you because it scans everything that's put in. Say, if you wouldn't mind, on the way home from work, stop and pick up a gallon of milk, and while you're at it, two or three dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. Or possibly your VCR is scanning all the stations. It knows your incredible love for Winnie the Pooh and Tigger 2. And there's an 18-hour special on PBS, and it wants to know if you wanted to record it. We live in a high-tech society. The Internet can be a great blessing in many, many ways, with communicating with missionaries and friends and family. But there is a dark side of the Internet, and the dark side is pervasive. And it's sometimes very hard to avoid. For centuries, you know, Satan has been hurling fiery darts It's almost like today he's gotten his hands on a high-powered rifle. The reason I started digging into this topic, basically, as most of you know, my whole life is teenagers. And one week I was preaching at a Christian school, and the guys there, most of them had absolutely no heart for God. And one guy made some good decisions. I said, man, what's going on in this school? He said, what happens is the guys go home at night, they surf the net, they find the most wicked, perverse, ungodly sight you can imagine. And they come back to school, share those addresses with each other, and they go back and watch them and laugh. As I was school preaching, and the junior and senior girls hated each other. And again, I was talking to one of the girls. She said, well, most of the girls in our school are involved in chat rooms, and a bunch of them got onto this one where they talked to some dude named Luke. And Luke kind of took an interest in just two or three of the girls and their friends, but nobody else. And so the juniors won't speak to the seniors. And what a mess. In one week, three different girls, different times, different states, came up to me. And I heard a story something like this. Ran, the other night I woke up in the middle of the night and went to use the restroom. And on the way there, I noticed something in the living room. And when I walked by, there was my dad. And he was watching pornography on the internet. I don't know what to do. You've got to understand that what we're facing here, it is spiritual warfare. Satan hates every single one of us. He hates God. Therefore, he'll do everything he can to keep us as far away from God as possible. And he is using this tool, the dark side of the internet. And search in Scripture. You know, sometimes it's hard to find a specific verse that deals with some of the social topics we deal with, like television, for instance. Although there is a verse in Matthew and Luke that says, tell the vision to no man. But a specific verse that deals with something that we're trying to deal with, often we go and find some great principles. Ezekiel 8 is where we're going to park both today and tomorrow. When I actually just read one verse from this passage. And then as I started studying the context, I know that God did not send Ezekiel 8 specifically to deal with the internet. But I do know this. In the midst of God's people, there was great wickedness, abominations going on, that basically these individuals were turning their heart away from God. And the principles, as I read through this passage, it is amazing how it correlates with the dark side of the internet. Again, Ezekiel 8, verse 1. It came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, and the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness and the color of amber. I love that word amber. That's my wife's name. Verse 3. And he put forth a form of a hand, and he took me by the lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me to the visions of God, to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate, that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. Now when it speaks of jealousy in the Word of God, God's jealousy, it's different than the jealousy that you see in the dating parlor here at Bob Jones. Did you ever walk through the dating parlor and watch a couple fighting? Don't look around, just look at me, please. And it's amazing. They're sitting there and she looks over. You looked at her. You think she's prettier than I am, don't you? And it's just amazing the jealousy that goes between individuals here in high schools, at camp, and so forth. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but at camp it's great. We have like maybe 800 campers at the Wilds. And every once in a while you'll see, you know, a couple kind of just sitting drooling together. And everybody else is out having fun. And I'll walk up to them and say, hey man, good to see you again. I've never met him in my life. I'll say, is this Cindy? And he looks at me, and before he can speak, I say, yeah, last night after the service, you told me there's this real cute girl named Cindy, and you want to get to spend some time with her. Good to meet you, Cindy. And I walk away and let him fight it out. It's great. The jealousy here, God is jealous for us. He knows the type of love that will literally steal our hearts away from him. The bottom line in God's jealousy is God wants the best for my life. Say it with me, please. God wants the best for my life. Say it again. God wants the best for my life. Just the girls, please. God wants the best for my life. Just the guys. God wants the best for my Just the guys sounding like girls.
God wants the best for my life.
Just the girls sounding like guys. Everybody, one more time. God wants the best for my life. You say, Rand, you're a complete idiot. I know that. I am. But you know what I want you to remember tomorrow, a week from now, 6 months from now, yes, 3 years from now? God wants the very, very best for my life. He doesn't want you to mess up your life and divorce. He doesn't want you to ruin your mind through the trash that is on the dark side of the internet. God is jealous for us. Verse 6, he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations? When you read the word abomination, you should think hate, hate, hate. This is what God hates. The abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. The abominations they commit, that these people, my people, are literally driving me out of their lives. And how many Christians today choose to be involved in the filth of the dark side of the internet and are literally driving God out of their lives? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. He brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. When I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. It almost sounds like a computer game. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in, and I saw. And behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. As Ezekiel went in and he saw on the walls of the temple all the way around, both pictures and words of every vile, perverse form of wickedness and immorality that you can imagine. The dark side of the internet is home to the same type of perversity and wickedness. And as these individuals would turn, we see farther on that they began to worship these things. Verse 11. There stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. I preach to teens. Probably 95% of my preaching is to teens. And when I'm talking to the teens, most of them are coming to me, not sharing the difficulty they have in their life, but how they're losing their moms, their dads, their pastors, and their youth pastors to the wickedness that is brought forth online. The ancients of the house of Israel, the leaders. In the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand. A thick cloud of incense went up. They actually worshiped this gross wickedness. And who are these guys? Who is this Jazaniah, son of Shaphan? Shaphan is the man that read the word of God to King Josiah. Jazaniah was his son. He heard his dad read the word of God. We know what God expects from us. This idea of making a choice in regards to the wickedness that's online, it is a choice that we're making. And gang, I know there's filters and there's stuff we can do to help, but it's still a heart issue. You know what pleases God. You know what displeases God. And so often we just say, I don't care. I'd rather please myself. That's what these individuals are doing here in this chapter. Verse 12, then he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery, in the rooms of his imagination. No one shall see me. The Lord seeth us not. The Lord has forsaken the earth. I can get away with this. Nobody will be able to know where I've been. And there's a false sense of privacy. This summer, where'd you go surfing, guys? You get a little break and go home at Christmas time. You've been in an atmosphere and an environment that's so conducive to growth. And now all of a sudden, it's like God doesn't even exist. What they do in the dark, when you can walk into your bedroom and shut the door and nobody can see. He said also unto me, verse 13, turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. I'm thinking, what could be worse? And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Understand that this is a false god. that was, according to their teaching, murdered by a wild boar. And once a year, women would gather together and they would worship this god in such a way that it was so wicked, so perverse, in every aspect and form of immorality that can be imagined, even to the point where they were sacrificing their living children. When Constantine came to rule, he saw that this type of worship was so wicked, he totally abolished it. Verse 15, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 5 and 20 men. Again, spiritual leaders with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their face toward the east. And they worship the sun, which is in the east. Is your back towards God? We can be just as close to God as we want to be. But often we choose sin and turn our backs on our Lord. Then he said unto me, verse 17, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they committed here? Doesn't it matter? Is it no big deal? Is it a light thing? Don't they care that they're actually choosing to do that which I hate? Doesn't it bother us when we sin right in the face of God? We say, I don't care. God will forgive me. I can just continue in this kind of sin. Doesn't it matter anymore that we choose to be in such sin? It says they filled the land with violence. They've returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they have put their branch to their nose. Even in those days, they had their own wicked sign language to blaspheme God. Verse 18 is a pretty sad verse. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. You see, all of a sudden, these individuals began to experience the consequences of their sin. And they cried out to God, please take all these consequences away. God forgives. Yes. But he doesn't always remove the consequences. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. As we look closely at this passage, today and tomorrow, we're going to slowly deal with each one of these sections. Back at verse 11, when it talked about the 70 men, the ancients, the power of the dark side of the internet, there is no one beyond the power and the pull of the internet. No one. No matter how godly, how influential, no one. Not your parents, not the faculty of the school, not the spiritual leaders in your life, not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, not your best friend, not you. No one. Do you realize that through research, over 40% of all internet traffic on AOL is adult-oriented? And statistics tell us right now that 75% of the men who access the internet have chosen to access pornographic material. If I had 10 guys stand up right now, 3 of them, I would ask to sit down. According to statistics, the other 7 have already chosen to view this trash. Pastors are losing their ministries. Families are breaking up. The minds of little kids and young teenagers are being polluted. Gang, this is spiritual warfare. Who is one of the strongest men in all the Bible? His name, say it out loud. Samson. And his love for strange women took him down. Who is one of the wisest kings in all the Bible? His name? Solomon, 300 wives, 700 cucumber vines. And what was his problem? Strange women. Who is one of the most godly kings in all the Bible? David. How old was David when he sinned with Bathsheba? He was about 50. His boys were already in their mid-20s. Did David have a heart for God? Yes. Did David sing praises to God? Yes. Did David hate sin? Yes. Did David choose to sin? Yes. And there's not one of us that are beyond the power and the pull of the dark side of the internet. Let him that thinketh he standeth. Take heed. Watch out. Be careful. Lest ye fall. Watch and pray. Lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready. You want to do what is right. But the flesh is so weak. Speaking of the strange woman, she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. One ministry called the Parsonage, they have a pastoral hotline, a care line for pastors only. One out of seven calls to that hotline are pastors who are already addicted to internet pornography. Does the internet offer a problem for women, for girls? Yeah. Inappropriate relationships are a great problem. You see, electronic relationships are distorted. Things can easily get out of hand. And especially in the area of the chat rooms, you don't know who you're talking to. You have no idea. One sting operation by the FBI, they sent a lady in, and she pretended to be a teenage girl, went to a chat room reserved for teenage girls only. There were 22 other girls in this chat room. They had the technology to trace all those lines. And when they did so, out of those 22 others, every single one was a man looking for a girl to talk to get an address, to have a face-to-face, and then to abuse. And we'll see more about that tomorrow. Verses 7 through 10 talk about its perversity. The wicked abominations that they do here. The internet is extreme in its content. TV has standards. Whoa. Can you believe that? Television actually does. I mean, take a normal movie. At least it's over in 2 hours. When the internet, it goes on and on and on. It has no ending. There are certain standards and regulations on TV, and they say there are for the internet, but they can't. There's no way they can monitor it. And the internet is home to wicked, perverted immorality. Every type is found online. What are the dangers? Easy and anonymous access to pornography. You see, the internet has decreased the hurdle of shame that comes with purchasing pornographic materials. Take, for instance, guys, you're home at Christmas, and mom says, hey, would you go down to the store and get some milk and go ahead and pick up some donuts? And so you do. You get the milk, you get the donuts, and you go ahead and pick up a Playboy magazine. And you come home, sit down with mom, drink the milk, eat the donuts, and flip through the magazine. I don't think so. But you can go to your room and shut the door and check around, make sure nobody is watching. And start hitting the icons and go to such incredible trash. The severity of internet pornography. The internet is home to thousands of images that would be illegal to sell, even in adult bookstores. The access to pornographic materials by children. And the incredible wickedness of child pornography. I want to stay as discreet as I possibly can here. But you know what I do when I'm not preaching or running a game? I sit in my office and I talk to teenagers who come weeping. A 15-year-old girl sitting there with AIDS because her mom's boyfriend raped her. Another girl who her stepfather raped her and they forced her to have an abortion. And this story goes on and on and on. You've got to understand that every single time there is any form of child pornography, some kid's life has been shattered. And it could be your little brother or your little sister. You say, come on, Rand, it'll never happen to us. Really? Let me share one story and we'll close this morning. A mom named Diane shared this. And I just want to read what she said. She said, I've always felt pornography was bad, that it was harmful, but I felt it didn't affect me personally. We live in a small, close-knit community. Pornography is not an issue there. I basically felt immune to its effects. A year ago in April, my world was shattered by the effects of pornography. My 3-year-old daughter was raped, and violated in every manner you can imagine by a 12-year-old boy. When they arrested the young man, they told me that they would surely find sexual abuse in his background, and this is why he did it to my daughter. After a thorough evaluation, they came to one conclusion. There was no abuse in his background, but he was exposed to pornography at a very vulnerable time in his life. What he saw not only gave him ideas what to do and how to do it, it gave him permission to treat females in a degrading and a debasing manner. Since he was only 12, he needed to look for a female who was younger than him who wouldn't fight back. So he raped and molested my daughter. My family has suffered as victims, but the young man who molested my daughter is a victim also. He came from a good family. His mother loves him as much as I love my little girl. His mother is as shattered as I am. There is something seriously wrong in this country when we protect the rights of a handful of men to make billions at the expense of women and children. Gang, this is spiritual warfare. Let's pray. Father, help us to love you, to hate sin more. May these messages be a warning to keep many of these students from destroying their lives. Please, Lord, protect us from the dark side of the internet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.